Yo, welcome to another episode of In a Minute with Evan Lovett, coming to you live from the IAM studios in the heart of LA. And today we have an issue that we are going to be discussing that is right in the heart of Los Angeles. Some say it is the most important issue on people's minds. And I am honored to be here with LA County Supervisor Lindsay Horvath, who represents the 3rd District. Mostly Northwest Los Angeles, is that fair to say?
It's like West LA. It's the West Side in the Valley, mostly.
More than 2 million people, though. And for those that don't know, and I haven't delved into this enough, the LA County Supervisors currently are referred to as the 5 Queens. Previously, they've been known as the 5 Kings because they were all male. They happen to be all female. But the only reason I bring that up is because they may be the most powerful decision makers in Los Angeles. Is that a fair assessment?
There's a lot of power in these seats, but I don't love that term because I think our job is to bring more people in and not rule on high.
Right, right. Okay. Either way, thank you, Supervisor Horvath, for being here. And we are going to be discussing a new motion that was passed by the Board of Supervisors that will sort of reinvent the way that Los Angeles deals with homelessness, which is an ongoing issue.
Yeah.
So first of all, I do want to say thank you to our sponsor, Ardo Brick. They are the specialists in renovation and restoration of historic Los Angeles landmarks and monuments, Alvera Street, Mariachi Plaza, St. Viviana Cathedral. They're based in Gardena, manufacturing jobs. Armin, the owner, is a fantastic guy and dedicated to Los Angeles and done so much historic work for Los Angeles. So thank you, Ardo Brick, for that. But Supervisor Horvath, let's jump right into it. First and foremost, LA has, at last count that I saw, 75,000 homeless people in the county, about 46,000 in the city. I did see Mayor Bass in her State of the City say that homelessness has decreased by 10%. It may or may not feel like that, depending on where you live and what that looks like. And again, this has been an ongoing issue that has sort of exploded out of control, at least especially during COVID. And the city has spent a lot of money on this problem.
Yes.
I saw that Los Angeles spent $2.5 billion last year, with a lot of it unaccounted for. And the main group in charge of that was LAHSA, LAHSA.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of that money was unaccounted for. And a lot of people think that there weren't necessarily great results for those expenditures. And that is why Supervisor Horvath, along with Supervisor Catherine Barger, spearheaded this motion. Tell us about the new motion and what that means and what that's going to do for Los Angeles.
So I want to start where you started, which is the frustration that people feel.
Yeah.
I feel like that was the reason I wanted to run for supervisor, a primary reason anyway.
Yeah.
I came from a city that had a very difficult relationship with the county, and we just didn't see the kinds of services and support that we needed.
And that was West Hollywood, is
yes,
that correct?
Yes.
Okay. Resident of West Hollywood currently?
Yes,
okay,
I am. Right. And so so it's an issue that even before I was a supervisor, I was very clued into. We actually had a study session with the county when I was on the council, and we heard from the county representatives who were there that they needed to be doing. They said, oh, you guys are doing a great job. We should be doing what you're doing. And that's nice to hear. Nice to have a pat on the back. But like, why aren't you doing what we're doing if you see us doing it? So, you know, so I think that's really at the heart of why we did this motion, because there's been a lot of frustration, a lot of investment, significant investment in this issue, and it doesn't feel like much progress. You know, last year, the official count showed, you know, a step in the right direction, which was finally a turnaround.
Right.
And so we are moving in a better direction. The preliminary numbers that were released that haven't gone through the full process say about 10% this year. We'll see if that's what the numbers actually turn out to be.
Right.
But still, for the amount that we're investing, the amount that we're focusing on it, the amount that it's become the top issue for local elected officials to not only talk about, but to do something about, we're just not seeing the results on the streets that people want to see. And I think you're right. LAHSA has been a big reason why that change hasn't happened. Now, I want to be very clear. I think there are a lot of great people who work inside Lhasa. I served on the Lhasa Commission for 2 years, so I got to see it up close.
Yeah.
And that's why I can confidently say it is structurally deficient. It was never created to... It was never designed to do the work that it's being asked to do now. And so it's like asking somebody who was never trained, you know, to build a house to build your house. It's like, okay, well, they might do it because they're being asked to do it, right, but they don't know how. And we just did an audit last year that the county led, which showed the same results of an audit that the county did years before. And there's been a subsequent audit as well,
right,
all showing that they don't have the structural... I guess they haven't set it up in a way that makes transparent how the dollars are being spent,
correct,
to what outcome. And so our measurement of success has been based on how much money we're spending,
right,
instead of what the results are. And that's absolutely unacceptable.
Yeah,
so now this motion will do two things. It consolidates the work of the county that is currently happening across 14 different departments.
Right.
It's absolutely absurd.
Including Lhasa or within Lhasa?
No. Outside. So in the county alone, 14 different departments touch homelessness.
Okay.
So we got to clean up our own backyard in the right. county and do right. a better job. So
that's
this
the,
motion.
That's the bureaucracy
yeah,
that people
and,
tend to.
And that's unacceptable too.
Yeah.
You know, I wouldn't say that the county is blameless.
Right.
So we have to fix our side of the street. So what we're doing is consolidating the work of 14 different departments into one.
Right.
So we can track better how we're spending the money, to what outcome, in which areas, who's being served, what services are being provided, and making sure that throughput is happening. And then the second piece is taking the ballot measure money that Angelenos have entrusted to us.
And that's Measure A and measure now Measure H, right?
It
correct?
Was Measure it, H. It's now Measure A.
Okay.
And so that was just passed in November.
Right.
And I think it was passed because... people really want accountability on these dollars.
Right.
And so we're taking that direction to heart and saying, instead of continuing to give that money to Lhasa, which has been a problem, we're going to keep that money at the county. We're still going to spend it throughout the region. It's still going to the city of Los Angeles and 87 other cities and the unincorporated areas.
Right.
We're just not doing the bureaucratic thing that we have continued to do, which is funnel money to another agency and hoping for the best.
But,
we're not going to do that anymore.
Okay. How can that... Where is that accountability going to come from?
So those dollars will stay with the county in this new department. And why that will work better is for two reasons. First, from the outset, we're taking the outcomes from the county's auditor controller audit that they just did and looking at the deficiencies. So we're learning from the past so we don't make those mistakes, and building from the ground up a department that has those accountability mechanisms in place. And the second thing is we are using as a cornerstone of that department the Housing for Health program, which is a county program that has been in effect for more than 10 years. So it's tested, it's trusted. In fact, not only the people who provide services, the service providers say it's the gold standard program, but the people who receive services and who have been housed say it's the gold standard program. And one of the things that they do is all of the administration inside the department. So instead of asking all of these nonprofit service providers to stand up their own admin in each of their respective agencies, we do that. We just let service providers do what they know how to do, make sure they're doing what they're doing and measuring those outcomes. And then the money side stays on the county so we can track those dollars.
Right.
Some of those dollars are Medi-Cal reimbursable. Like we've seen the city of Los Angeles, some city council members have been using their discretionary funds instead of using Medi-Cal dollars because they can't reimburse on the city side, but the county can.
Right.
So
just
using our dollars better. And that's the way it should be working.
But how do we ensure that that's not just a empty promise, because campaigns historically have been filled with those kind of promises, right? Where we're going to do it better and there's going to be transparency. Like, what are the mechanics actually going to be that'll make sure this is going to happen in a relatively short period of time? Because I saw it's a 16-month timeline, if I'm not mistaken.
The department starts July 1st.
Okay.
And then over a 12-month...
July 1st
month,
of this 2025.
Year, yes.
Okay.
And then over that 12-month period, the work of consolidating the 14 departments and scaling back Lhasa will take place. And so that's the timeline we've put ourselves on because... and. Quite frankly, I think it's a little bit long, but my colleagues both on the county and city side have said, you know, government doesn't work that fast. We have to be thoughtful. And I agree. We do have to be thoughtful, but we also can't wait. I think that I think the idea that like we have to follow the pace of government is the exact wrong way to go. And I think I think to your point, there have been a lot of promises made about how we're going to do things differently. But if those promises don't come with and we're going to fundamentally do something different in terms of how we deliver these services, we should expect the same thing. Doing the same thing over and over is the definition of insanity. Sure. And so we absolutely have to start from scratch and build a department that actually addresses what we're seeing on our streets. Because LASA was actually created out of a court decision. You know, there's been this a lot of discussion around the Alliance lawsuit.
Yeah, okay.
And that's actually how we got LASA was from a we shouldn't be going back to the courts to solve these problems.
Right.
This is why you elect people like me and people on the city council to roll up our sleeves and actually do the work and get it done and take responsibility for this issue. And so LASA has sort of been pointed to as a problem, but they were never designed to be the kind of service delivery and, you know, the work at the scale that we're currently asking them to do.
So what are the services that are going to happen? What is the new department going to be in charge of, and what are the priorities and the outcomes hopefully going to be?
So Housing for Health is, as I mentioned, is a county program that really centers the person in the work that they do.
Right.
And their motto is whatever it takes. And so whether that person is struggling with addiction, whether they have mental illness, whether, you know, whatever the issues might be, they center the experience of the person and they work with them to not only get them into a housing unit, because we've seen when people go into housing but don't have services, that's a problem for neighborhoods.
Absolutely.
And creates other challenges.
Yeah.
But there are some people who only need housing. And so every different experience can be addressed by the Housing for Health model.
Right.
What also currently isn't available that will become part of our system, and something that's frustrated me for the years that I've been serving now, is there is no portal. If you suddenly become unhoused, like if you're the owner of your building sells a building, you get ellised out and you don't have a place to stay.
Right.
There is no website you can go to say, like, where can I stay for the next 2 weeks while I get back on my feet?
Right.
Like, everything that the city and county provide in Los Angeles is gatekept through a service provider. So if you don't go to a service provider for whatever reason, like maybe you don't want to say, hey, I lost my housing, and maybe you don't want to say that out loud to someone.
Right.
You know, you just want to be able to find something on your own. There's no way to do that right now. So that's another thing that this department is going to do, is create a portal so people have agency in how they get themselves back on their feet for the people who can.
What about people that are currently experiencing homelessness that maybe perhaps don't want to proactively find a portal, or are happy or existing in their current situation in neighborhoods that may not have a warm embrace of their situation?
So I think we've definitely heard stories of people who have rejected services.
Yep.
But I think that's because of mistrust that has come before. Right. I don't think on the first try, if somebody is offered, hey, we have a place for you to come sleep, on the first try, if that were a successful experience, I don't think we would have the kind of reticence we see on the streets now.
Right.
And so we have to overcome what past experience people have had.
Yeah.
I think most people want to be in housing. I don't know a lot of people who don't. And there are some people who struggle with a variety of issues, mental illness, addiction, as we've touched on, that don't allow them to be aware of what they're actually experiencing.
Okay.
And so I think in those cases, we have to help take care of them. We see people struggling on the streets. I knew a woman in West Hollywood who, you know, we all knew her in the community. She would like go through trash and, you know, pick things out to eat. And when I was at the city, we actually went to court for her, you know, to advocate to get her into a supportive environment.
Right.
And the court said that because she knew how to choose which foods would be okay for her to eat, that distinguished to them that she was capable to be on her own and able to take care of herself. And I think when I heard that, that was horrifying to me. I think that was one of the things that has really changed how I show up in this space. Like, if we're going to get sued, if we're going to go to court and have all kinds of, you know, litigation around things, yeah. I want to be in court because we're fighting to help people, not because we're navigating that kind of thinking. Like, we have to help people get off the streets. We have to help them be supported in, right. in safe environments. And we have to let them know that they can trust that if they go inside, it's going to be a safe experience for
so
them.
Let me ask you this. A lot of the homeless or people experiencing homelessness have addiction and mental illness issues, right? Which may inhibit their outlook on services or receiving services and things like that. Mm-hmm. Again, but it still becomes an issue for the neighborhood and for the residents. How are you sort of rectifying that? Where but it's like making services available is one thing, but is there a proactive movement to kind of take care of these people who may not be able to take care of themselves in their present state?
Absolutely. We have to create different types of housing for the different types of needs that people have. And that's what Housing for Health does. So we would, for somebody who has, you know, significant issues that need to be addressed from a medical perspective, right. we wouldn't just put them into housing units that don't have those kinds of supportive services. Right. And the county's also standing up mental health beds and different kinds of supports to address the different kinds of needs that we're seeing. But let's be clear, that means we have to build housing. That yeah. means we have to create these spaces for people to go. And so this notion, and I think that was why I was most supportive of Measure A, not only because of the accountability piece, but Measure H only funded services. It didn't fund the creation of housing.
That was passed in 2017.
Yes.
Is that correct?
Okay. And so that measure we saw, like, yes, people should be served on the streets. Yes, people should get help, and we shouldn't wait to get them into housing to get them help. But what that turned into was providing service on the streets for people and not really ever getting them off the streets. Right. And I think that's why we saw a proliferation of people on the streets, is we were providing them services there. So they were like, well, if we're going to get helped here, I don't need to go inside. So I think we need to. So Measure A now says, not only are we going to fund services, but we're also going to fund housing solutions.
And hold on. Measure A was passed in November, and that's yes. Half cent increase to the sales tax.
It's a quarter cent increase, but okay. It's a half cent total.
Okay.
So the previous was a half cent, right. and or it was a quarter cent, and now and so it's an additional quarter cent for a
Got
total
it.
Of a half cent.
Okay.
And so now we're able to build housing or identify housing, permanent housing solutions more readily, and there's a funding stream for it to match with the services. And I think that was a missing component. And what we saw, this in the county's Pathway Home program, which is the county's version of encampment resolution. Yeah. We have seen that where we really get stuck is we just don't have the availability of housing solutions for people. So they get stuck in interim housing for a long period of time,
right.
Because they don't have anywhere else to go. So we've started talking about, well, how do we get creative about long-term housing solutions? Are some of the interim housing solutions able to be converted into long-term, right. since
Does that
they're living
like,
there long-term?
Like Project Room Key? Is that one of
that's
those?
That's one of the opportunities. Okay. But we also, to your point, have to design housing for people that will have mental health needs or right. other kinds of needs that need to be addressed from a medical
and
perspective.
And that's housing. That'll, in my opinion, require services within the housing,
yes.
too. So
that's
a whole
right.
more robust
yes.
type of housing.
Yes.
Yeah.
And we need both. I mean, I think we have seen the problems on our streets. Even if you're not unhoused, if you're just struggling to afford to live in Los Angeles, the right. affordability crisis is directly attributable to the availability of housing. If we don't have enough housing, that housing availability becomes more and more expensive. So we have to create more housing solutions for people.
Interesting. So housing is the root cause, in your opinion, or the main solution, let's say. Once you have more housing, you have more places to house people, and then...
Well, and that's why we say it's housing for health. You know, right. it's housing is a key component to keeping people healthy. If, yeah. you know, once we help stabilize them, if they go back onto the streets and just continue to cycle through, we're not actually helping anyone. That housing, that permanent housing solution, is a critical component to keeping people healthy and off the streets.
Can I ask you a question? Mm-hmm. With this recent streamlined housing builds of affordable housing in single family neighborhoods, how is that frankly, fair to the current homeowners in those neighborhoods, that you're changing the character of these neighborhoods that have, you know, evolved to become something that homeowners are really proud of and homeowners love and enjoy. And now it sort of changes that character within those neighborhoods. I know you need additional housing, but
we do.
There can be a sensible way where there's like a happy medium for everybody.
I agree with you.
That.
I agree with you. I've spoken out about one size fits all solutions. Yeah. And I think that then creates unnecessary tension in our communities.
Yes,
I think
there,
sometimes,
you
know, sometimes there, you know, there are solutions that need to be addressed. And I am a big advocate of housing density along transit lines. I think that's, you know, along our main commercial corridors.
Right.
I think mixed use and increased housing in some areas where, you know, they may have been focused on commercial.
Right.
We can increase
right.
housing density there, build it along transit lines,
that's a smart idea.
Connect people throughout the community, make it easier for them to go to their work, their medical appointments, whatever, you know, what have you.
Right.
But not every neighborhood needs to see that kind of increased density. But I think we've just seen with the fires that there are some neighborhoods as well that are in high fire severity zones. And
right.
we've seen the new maps that have come from the state. If we continue to build in areas that are at risk of danger of, you know, some of these natural disasters,
right.
then that's also not smart planning
Correct.
Either. So we have to plan accordingly. We have to think about where housing density ought to go and make sure that it's connected to transportation to make our communities move smoother. And I think that's where we need to be focusing. And instead of saying, like, you know, this one size fits all solution, I'm going to shove it down your throat.
Right.
It's like, instead, like, let's work with communities to say, we know we need housing.
Right.
We know this is an area that's ripe for housing. So where can it go? And let's decide together where it will go.
And there's going to be NIMBYs in every neighborhood.
There will
that
be.
Are fighting the tension, as you said, right?
Yeah, I mean, I get it. Like, I live next door to, you know, when I was in my previous apartment, there was a single family home that got sold and turned into multifamily housing.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and I was sort of in one of those neighborhoods that had a mix of that. And
right.
so I live next door to the construction. Super not fun. I get that.
Right, right.
But I also understand that now there are many more people who get to live in that housing. And it's a neighborhood that had multifamily, you know, multi-story units as well, buildings as well. So, you know, you have to think about, like, if we're trying to accommodate more housing, where can it go? Where does it go responsibly?
It has to be done responsibly.
Yeah,
that's
and we, you know, I get that construction is never fun to live next to. So let's help through our city and land use processes. Let's help it move faster instead of taking years for us to build. That's also the nightmare. People feel like they're going to live next door to a construction zone for years and years.
Yeah.
We should move faster.
I think it's not even necessarily the construction per se, but the outcome that people are afraid of with the neighborhood, whether it's parking concerns or, again, just changing the character of certain neighborhoods. But it also adds a good element to, you get more people, you get more retail, you get more food. So it adds a certain thing to it. And everybody's a little bit reluctant to change in certain, but I stray a little bit. Let's go back on LASA. It was created via court decision.
Yeah.
How did it end up being this unwieldy organization that just had so much control over the homelessness issue? And then how is it going to be dismantled? And again, it is a relatively short period of time, governmental timeline or otherwise.
So LASA was created out of a court decision. The city sued the county saying that the county wasn't providing sufficient services to address street homelessness.
Yeah.
Sounds familiar, right?
Yeah.
So if this right. were truly the solution to that problem, we would have solved it a long time ago.
Correct.
In fact, what it ended up being, and so then as we move forward, the federal government, in order to provide funding to local governments, said there had to be a thing called a continuum of care, a COC in each local region. And that's where the federal government provides their funding.
Okay.
So for Los Angeles, Long Beach has their own. There's another city that has their own. But for Los Angeles, the city of Los Angeles and all of the rest of the cities, the county in Los Angeles County, the continuum of care is now LASA. That became the entity that provides, you know, all of the federal support that we get.
Right.
And then when Measure H was passed, this was additional funding that that was done by ballot measure. And that measure was done by the County Board of Supervisors.
Right.
That funding was for a period of 10 years.
Yeah.
It had an end date on it. So when it was passed, the charge was sort of, go out and start spending this money to show that we need it, because in 10 years, we're going to have to make the case to say we need to continue funding it.
Right.
But there wasn't intentional infrastructure. There wasn't, and here's how we're going to thoughtfully stand up things inside
just
LASA.
Spending money.
It was, you know, LASA was a place
lack
where
of accountability.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It was a place where both the city and the county were funding a lot of contracts for service providers.
Right.
And so they said, okay, we're going to give you more money. So tell the service providers to scale up. Well, you have to hire people, you have to train them, you have to make sure they're the right people. And so there's no standardization of care currently. There's no, here's everything that you must do in order to be a properly trained, you know, person that's ready to go in the system. And the system itself has underfunded the people who are doing the work. So there are people who are working for some of these service providers who themselves are at risk of homelessness. So it's a total mess.
Okay, so how is it going to be different with this new motion? What, where will the accountability, where will the transparency come from? How can the residents of the County of Los Angeles look at the, what are the metrics and milestones going to be where people can be like, this is working, or perhaps it's not working? But
so so for me, seeing the throughput is a key component. And what, and so what that means, to not sound like a government person, is like when the first time somebody comes to get help until they are stably housed and, you know, we know they're going to stay off the streets, how are we helping them move through that process and, you know, stay the course and ultimately end up in a place where they're staying off the streets? So are they, you know, who's being provided services and what outcomes are we seeing for that? And how are we making sure that people actually get to a stable housing solution? So yes, we want to see a reduction in homelessness in our neighborhoods. That's the thing that everybody wants
to see. I
think
that's the ultimate goal slash milestone, right? When they do those counts, the number continues to go down year after year, right?
Absolutely. And I think that's one way to measure it. But we also know that there are a lot of people who come into our homelessness system who don't get counted for in terms of a homeless count because they actually get housed or they're provided services throughout sort of that period of time. So we're actually housing people constantly. The problem is that we continue to see people falling into homelessness. So what we so how we measure success is how do we actually see people go through that that system more quickly, not sort of sitting in interim housing waiting for that housing solution, or how do we help them, you know, get back on their feet, whether that's getting back connected to a work a place of employment, whether they're connected to mental health supports. We've heard testimony from people who have gone through the Housing for Health program who have said, like, now I'm able to do all of these things, and now they're working themselves to help support others who are going through this system. But we also need to be able, and this is why the auditor controller component is so important. From a financial standpoint, we need to make sure that from day one, we're tracking where dollars are going and getting regular reports on what the outcomes
are. Is that going to be transparent? Is that going to be accessible by the public?
Yes, it will be. We've asked for it to be presented to us at our public board meetings. We also will be providing that information to the newly created Executive Committee on Regional Homeless Alignment. That's another place where city, county, and local cities, as well as the governor's office, has a seat on that body. And they are empowered by Measure A. If cities aren't using the dollars that they get directly, because another new thing from Measure A is cities are getting direct allocations of funding. Another thing that
based on what are the city's allocations? How is that determined?
There's a formula that in part based on point in time count, but it's based on a variety of other things. And that formula, which was just voted on, will determine how much money each city gets directly. Now, if cities aren't spending their money or if they're spending it inefficiently, you know, then that body, the executive committee that I just mentioned, they have the authority to take money away and reallocate it to places where more money is needed. And so the city of Los Angeles is one of those places, right? Because that's where the largest portion of homelessness is happening in Los Angeles County.
Okay. Now, speaking of the city of Los Angeles, Mayor Bass was not too happy about the motion. The recent quote was, creating new bureaucracy is not in and of itself transformational. And she's been critical since the motion was first sort of floated. How is your relationship, not you personally, but I mean the new entity, the Board of Supervisors, with Mayor Bass? going to affect this, or just what's going to come of that relationship?
Well, this is a new department, and right. We're excited about working with everyone who wants to work with us.
Yeah.
You know, instead of doing just creating a new program on top of what has already existed, you know, something like Inside Safe, which was created new, but I don't think anything was dismantled inside the city or inside right. Lhasa in Good order point. To create that program.
Yeah.
You know, the county is actually saying we can't just keep doing everything else that we've been doing that hasn't been delivering results. We're going to make changes as to how we're spending those dollars in order to do something new. So in fact, this isn't more bureaucracy, it's less, because we're consolidating the work of 14 different departments into one. We're spending less on overhead and yeah. administration and more on direct service provision, which is what the city has been asking us to do.
Right.
And we're consolidating it into one place where people can go to track that information, as opposed to it being a spread throughout a variety of different places. Now, I understand that that's frustrating, especially because the city has budget challenges.
Right,
and,
right.
you know, it's
$1 billion shortfall this year, I think.
You know, I feel for them. They're really going to have to work on, right. you know, their financial management. And yeah. And I'm sure that that's an incredibly difficult task to be facing.
Right.
I don't think it's the responsibility of the county who is entrusted to administer these dollars from Measure A. I don't think it's our job to balance the city's budget.
Right.
I think it's our job to deliver services and solve the homelessness crisis. And so, you know, I think it would be disingenuous to say that there will be no homelessness after this department is
right.
created. That's not a reasonable
it's not
goal.
Realistic.
You know,
absolutely.
I mean, look at any major city. There is some degree of homelessness.
Correct.
What we can do is get this crisis under control. And with the amount of money that is in this system already, we can do better. And that is the charge that we are giving this department by making sure that we're tracking it. And we're also seeing how we are looking at outcomes instead of just how did we spend money.
Okay, so what is your goal? What is the vision, I should say, 5 years, 10 years, a generation down the line? What will this motion accomplish? What will the homelessness situation look like in Los Angeles County?
Well, this, I think long-term, the goals have already been outlined. There's now a whole process through Measure A.
Yeah.
There's the leadership table, which was created, and that is, you know, agencies, philanthropy, you know, all those who are sort of day in, day out, you know, some of our city and county departments, people who are doing that work every day, the best and brightest minds are coming together saying, you know, here's what we believe is reasonable on this particular timeline. They showed us their goals. They brought them to the executive committee, and then the executive committee brought them to the Board of Supervisors.
Yeah.
So all of that has been outlined through a very public process. I was sort of critical of it, to be honest, because I said, you know, I think it's public to us. I don't think the average
Thank
person
you.
Has any
I was
idea
gonna,
what happened.
Because when you're saying committees and then board, it's like,
I know.
To me, yes, it's transparent, but
yeah.
people don't necessarily want to do that kind of research. We want to see... I want to hear what the goal is. Obviously, we're not going to eliminate homelessness.
Yeah.
Never can happen, never will happen. But just from a macro perspective, what does it look like
yeah.
in 10 years? What's
the
outcome?
So I said at the exec, thank you for saying that, because
yeah.
I said at the exec committee meeting, I was like, am I the only person who thinks this? Like, I said, like, I get that we all did this good work, and I'm sure that people like had these meetings full of like great ideas and
yeah.
wonderful conversation, but the average person has no idea that this happened.
Right.
And so
right.
they're just going to say like, what are you doing to move the needle
yes.
so I don't experience this in my neighborhood anymore?
Yes, correct.
And so I think that's how we have to engage with people. And as we stand up this department, we are asking people to get involved in that process with us, to, you know, tell us what is your you know,
Let's
what
go.
Is your
yeah.
experience? Like, what is it that you want to see solved? And, so, you know, for some people, it is truly like this encampment under the freeway
yes.
That I pass by every day, that I take my kids to school. That's got to go. That's their number
Absolutely.
One thing. They truly don't care if the whole system is fixed. They just want that encampment to go.
Right.
And I feel that, like, I get that. But I also think that, you know, we should be making as goals, you know, our young people who are in our foster care system
yeah.
are likelier to become unhoused than housed after they leave our system.
Wow.
That's
okay.
absolutely unacceptable.
Yeah.
So how do we
yeah.
do better by our young people who are counting on us as, you know, their de facto parents
right.
to help support them to get on their feet and, you know, and have the structured supports that they need to succeed? How are we helping older adults who in the last homeless count were increasingly falling into homelessness because of affordability.
Right.
That's unacceptable. You're at that late stage of life. Like, your community should be supporting you and make sure that there's a place for you to safely age. So, like, those are some of the things that we should be looking at and that I'm looking at as we stand up this new department. How do we make all of those things come together for the people we
and
need
conceptually,
to serve?
Yes. And I agree with that. And those are great intentions. But I do think there needs to be accountability just in the form of goals or milestones.
I agree.
And maybe that means tangible numbers on the homeless count.
Yep.
I mean, is that something that's being bandied about?
That was part of the process.
Okay.
And so there are percentages that, you know, I think don't sound impressive.
Right.
But when we're thinking about the magnitude of the problem, there are lots of different contributing factors. I think that when we stop spending so much money on administration and asking our service providers to do that administration, which isn't what they do, like, they've had to figure out how to stand up, you know, a whole bureaucracy in and of themselves.
Yeah.
And I think that's where people have, you know, pointed to the what they've called the homeless industrial complex. Like, I don't subscribe to that, because I think that just sort of says, like, we shouldn't be doing that work. And
right.
I think we need to be doing that work. That's the game changer. But we shouldn't be asking each of those agencies to do all of this administrative work that the county can do,
right.
especially because government should speak to itself. You know, like, we should figure out how to deal with the numbers in the best way possible. We know how to do Medi-Cal reimbursement. We know how to make sure the dollars stretch farther. Let us do that piece. But we should also allow people who know how to do that service provision, who are truly trained to do it, not just like somebody with a like a clipboard and a checklist and, you know, I talk to you, I'm done for the day.
Right.
That's unacceptable. You know, there are different teams who do that and they don't talk to each other. So I think putting all of this under one roof is going to sort of call all of that out and surface where all of our inefficiencies and redundancies exist and how we make that work better.
Sounds good. I know we're running out of time. I just have two more questions for you. So who are the people that are going to be running this, or how are those going to be selected? I realize that LASA, I believe the president stepped down. I don't know if that's the right position title, but the person who was running LASA resigned. And I feel that I read somewhere that the staff, a significant percentage of the staff, is leaving. What's going to happen, A, with all the existing departments, the 14 different organizations that were doing this? And who are the people that are actually going to be in charge of this one efficient department that's going to be run by the county?
So the department is starting out with the Housing for Health program. And Sarah Mahan is the person who runs Housing for Health now in the county.
Okay.
So I know she will continue to lead that program. And the county board will have the opportunity to go through a process to hire who will ultimately be the permanent lead for the department.
Okay.
LASA, I understand, is also going through their own process to hire someone to serve, whether as an interim CEO or I think they have to figure out what that's going to be.
Yeah.
You know, LASA existed before Measure H was passed.
Right.
So what this motion does is it takes the money that came in from these ballot measures and brings that back into the county.
Right.
But there still will be a LASA. It just will be very much scaled back.
Right.
And, you know, I think, I know the city is also considering what they're going to do, whether they're going to start their own department or do something different as well. I think there's another way that the city and county can work together. And it requires trust. And it requires us all to embrace the fact that we're starting fresh and starting with something new.
Yeah.
Because
leave the egos behind. Absolutely.
Yeah, because I think there is good intention. I think the mayor came in very strong on this issue. I think there are many council members who are very committed on this issue. I know my colleagues are committed. I think there's a lot of willingness. So if we get out of our own way and just say, we have this new thing and we're going to design it to address what we're seeing today.
Yeah.
How do we make the best investments into this department? You know, can the city work directly with the county instead of using LASA as this pass through?
Right.
Like, let's just work together instead of being like continuing to function with this thing that hasn't helped us work better together.
Yeah.
What's helped us work better together is having those intentions and actually working together, being at the table together.
Knowing that everybody has the same motivation, the same goals at the end. I mean, again, that's a little idyllic because, again, egos and jurisdiction, all these kind of things get in the way, but that's a good way of looking at it. Now, how can the public and local communities and regular people get involved or be involved in supporting the new motion or just overall combating the homelessness issue or helping support the progress that we're trying to make in this issue?
So you please reach out to my office. Yeah. We are very much, we're working on it all day, every day, right. Making sure that how we're standing this up in the county addresses all, you know, the various concerns that we're hearing all throughout the region. You can reach out to the Homelessness Initiative, which is an initiative in the CEO's office in the county right now.
What do you mean? And what is
so there? That's what it's called, the Homelessness Initiative.
Okay.
And what they are supposed to be leading, they're one of the 14. They are supposed to be leading the efforts around homelessness inside the county. They're helping us to consolidate how we do the work inside this department. You can reach out to them directly if you prefer to go to a county department. I don't know why you would prefer that over coming to my office,
right.
But okay. If you do, that's fine. I know that Lhasa will continue to have this conversation. I know the city is going to continue to have this conversation. You know, there are the thing that I've been frustrated with, just to be blunt, is like there are too many tables and too many places where these conversations are happening.
Yeah.
So to answer your question, I could tell you like 5 different places where people could go.
Yeah.
And people don't have that kind of time, to
correct.
Your point. So that's why I say, just come to my office. We are consolidating all of that. I've called all 15 city council members when I was chair of the Lhasa Commission.
Right.
I called them all to say like, tell me your pain points. Tell me what you want to see Lhasa doing. Help me. So like we have a good sense of what each district wants to be doing,
right.
What they want to be seeing, what their measurements of success look like. And we're going to work with everybody. You know, we want to fix this problem. It's been, you know, the albatross around our necks for far too long.
Yeah.
And I think people have showed that they have endless compassion, but we don't have limitless dollars. And so we need to do better. And I'm really committed to making this work.
Well, there needs to be a solution. There needs to be tangible improvement.
Yes.
And perhaps this motion is a great step in making that happen. Thank you, Supervisor Horvath, for coming in shining a light on what is a significant change, what hopefully is a positive change for the city of Los Angeles and for everybody experiencing homelessness. Consolidation and a better focus and better allocation of resources really does sound like progress. So hopefully that is the case. And thank you for pushing this through and spearheading this along with Supervisor Barger. And I hope that, this really does promote positive change here in Los Angeles.
Absolutely.
So I appreciate anything else that you want to leave us with that was perhaps omitted in the conversation?
No, I just thank you for, you know, helping to have this conversation with people. And I think that there are a lot of, you know, this is a top of mind issue more for our community, more so than many other throughout the country.
Yeah.
And I don't know about you, but I'm tired of the first thing that people think about when they think of Los Angeles as homelessness. Like I want people to talk about creativity and innovation, the entertainment industry, the beauty of our natural landscape, like so many other wonderful things about LA. Like you do such a great job telling our history. Like those are the things I want people to be talking about in Los Angeles, not this issue. We got to fix it.
Well, there you go. Well, thank you very, very much.
Thanks.
Supervisor Horvath, appreciate you. And contact the supervisor's office if you have any issues or concerns. July 1st, we're going to start seeing the new department, and hopefully we see some positive changes.
Yep.
So, all right, LA, it's been a minute.